Tahara is called Parashat Tahara? Parashat Gadol?
No, Parashat Mitzorah is called Tahara.
Parashat Mitzorah is called Parashat Tahara. Parashat Tahara.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. You mentioned that.
Parashat Par?
No, Tahara.
No, no.
Okay, Rabbi, so this week, Parashat Mitzorah, one Parasha, one Sefer Torah, and it's called, though, Shabbos HaGadol. We laid this week a special Haftorah, the Haftorah, the Arvo LaHashem Minchas Yehuda VYerushalayim. Let me actually open up, I want to mention the pasuk from the Haftorah. This week, a special Haftorah. Haftorah from Malachi. The Arvo LaHashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim. We'll talk about it a little bit later. It used to be, by the way, that this Haftorah was only read when Shabbos, Erev Pesach, Shechal Lihiyos B'Shabbos. That's a fact. And it used to be many, many years ago, the minhag Yisrael was to lay on Shabbos HaGadol, when Shabbos HaGadol was not Erev Pesach, the Haftorah of the Parsha, which would mean we would lay in this week the Haftorah of Mitzorah. But for whatever, and the only time they would lay in the Arvo LaHashem Minchas Yehuda V'Yerushalayim would be when Shabbos was Erev Pesach. Why? Because the end of the Haftorah says, Hinei Anoichi Shaleach Lachem Eis Eliyoha Navi Lifnei Boy Yoim Hashem HaGadol V'Hanayra. That since the next day, if Sunday was Pesach, and Pesach is the day of the Yoim Hashem, HaGadol V'Hanayra, so the day before the Gadol V'Hanayra, we're calling Pesach. Pesach is called the day, it used to originally be called the day that's called the Gadol V'Hanayra. Because just like we were redeemed for the first time in Nisan, on Pesach, there is a tradition that we will be redeemed once again on Pesach. So the day of Pesach, Tes Vav B'Nisan, is the day that it's called the Gadol V'Hanayra. We anticipate our redemption. And being the Chazal say, Hinei Anoch Yishlech, Lachem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Boy Yoim Hashem. So that means the day before, which is Shabbos, is when Eliyahu Hanavi will come. So that is why the custom used to be that the only time we lay in Shabbos this parsha of the Arvo LaHashem was on the Shabbos that was Erev Pesach, is because of that pasuk. For whatever the reasons are, it's not so clear how the minhag changed. The minhag became that we lay in this Haftorah every year on the Shabbos before Pesach, regardless if it's Erev Pesach or not, we always lane this Haftarah. And we'll discuss that a little bit later on. I just want to point out that again, tomorrow is a special Shabbos, we'll lane Mitzorah, and we'll lane the special Haftarah, but we do not take out another Sefer Torah. Do not confuse it with the Dal Parashios. Dal Parashios are over. We've already lane Parashas Shkolim, Parashas Zohar, Parashas Parah, Parashas HaChodesh, so there is no fifth Parsha. The fifth parasha is called Shabbos HaGadol, but there is no special Maftir, there is no special Sefer Torah. Now, I always believed, for whatever reason, that you know that a leap year is the true year. Most of us think that the true year is the year when it's not a leap year. And we double up parashios. We lay in, like, how did Chazal decide how to arrange the 54 parashios of the Torah? So did Chazal decide to take a regular year, it's not a leap year, only 12 months, not 13 months, and divide up the parashiyos according to the calendar in that year? So I think the average person says, yes, that's what Chazal did. And they look at the calendar, and they see in the calendar, you know, there's only 50, we don't have 54 Shabbosos, we have less, so we have to double up. So we'll double up Tazria Mitzorah, we'll double up Achrei Mois Kedoshim, we'll double up Nitzam Vayelech, we'll double up Matos and Masei. Okay, they are single. So that's their original calculation. Is that the Pshat? Where's the pshat? No, when Chazal went and they divided up the Torah, they focused on a year that had 13 months. And they divided the parashiyos based upon the number of weeks that appear in a year that has 13 months, which is close to 54, if not exactly 54. And it works out just about that there's no need for there to be any week when there are two parashiyos. It's very rare, because there are other considerations. Yom Tov takes away a Shabbos here and there. There are times when it works. I think there's that in the last cycle. I think a couple of years ago we had such a cycle where it's a very rare year where Kimat every single week we lay in only one parash. But this year it's not so. This year we lay in later. We're going to lay in some parashios. We're going to double up. But I always felt is that a year that is a leap year, even though it's not the common year. It depends, right? It was the whole calculation. This is the starting point. And what is the advantage if that is the starting point? We have a principle, hafoichba, hafoichba, dekulubah. The events of the week are always hinted to in the parsha itself. There's always there's a relationship between the parsha and the Jewish calendar. Now, on a much deeper level, there's a relationship between the parsha and current events. What's going on in the world? Okay, the parasha and the haftarah, it's like a nevuah. What's going on in the world? And you can extrapolate, you can look at the parasha. If you really know how to understand the depth of the parasha, you can understand what's taking place in current events, and you can expound upon the lessons that need to be learned based upon what it says in the parasha. But besides going into the depth of current events, world politics, local politics, let's just focus on the Jewish calendar. If a certain parasha always serves as a backdrop for a particular Yom Tov, obviously there's a connection. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. That's always right before Rosh Hashanah. And every darsh and every sefer you'll open up will say, because atem nitzavim hayom lefnei Hashem Elokeichem is Yom Hadin. What else is Yom Hadin? What more perfect expression can you compose to describe the Yom Hadin other than atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem? You stand here before Hashem in judgment. I mean, what more could you say? And so it's not a coincidence that Chazal arranged that Parshas Nitzavim should be right before Rosh Hashanah, Chanukah. Chanukah, we're always laning either one, basically one of two parashas, Vayeshev and Miketz. That parasha, there's so much Torah that shows how those parashas serve as the backdrop for the Chanukah miracle. V'chul, v'chul. Now, when it gets touchy is when it comes to Pesach and Purim in a leap year. So, if you look at the parashas, generally, I find that there's much more of a connection between the parashas HaShavua and the Moed when it's a leap year than when it's an ordinary year. And let me just give you one little example. And I'll show you a few examples of that today. Short examples. Number one, the parasha begins. Zoyis tiyeh taras ha-metzora b'yoyim tohara soivu v'ayla koyim. What does it say in the Rashi, the first Rashi? Zoyis tiyeh taras ha-metzora b'yoyim Tohorosai. Rashi over here is obsessed with the word biyoim. Why does it say biyoim? Melamed she'ein mitaharin oso balayla. There's no tahira balayla that you can't have. It says biyoim. Biyoim means the process of taking the mitzvah and bringing two birds and slaughtering one and dipping the living bird in the blood of the dead bird and sprinkling and eats eretz ve'ezav shritolas. That's only by day. That's pshat. What's the drush? This parsha is right, the last parsha we're going to lay in before we go to the Seder in a week from now. And at the Seder we begin the question, the highlight of the Seder is, Ma nishtano halayla hazeh mikol halaylois? Shebechol halaylois anu achlim chamitza matzah v'chulu v'chulu. Shebechol halaylois we do this. Shebechol halaylois. Why is this night, this Laila, different? And we go and give an answer why this night is different. And the entire Haggadah is packaged in what we call the Simonim, the 15 words. And the first, the most prominent of the Simonim is Kaddish. Kiddush. When the father comes home from Shul, he recites Kiddush. Kaddish. 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 The Haggadah opens up with the word Kiddush. The Laila, the Manishtano HaLaila HaZemikol HaLaila is presented against a backdrop of Kiddusha, Kadesh. Rashi, the last thing we're going to learn before the Haggadah. Laila, there's no Tahara. Don't fool yourself in thinking you got it all. In Golos, the most you can get out of Golos is Kiddusha. Don't make a mistake. There's a lot of Kiddusha. There's a lot of sparks of Kiddusha. And that's our tafkid in Golos is to sanctify. V'yatem tiyuli mamleches koyhanim v'goy kadosh. We'll always be a holy nation. But to be a nation that's tahar, that you need a Beis HaMikdash. For that, I don't just mean tahar going to mikvah. I mean, tahara is a purity of the soul. We probably don't even know what that means, but we do know there's an expression. It's used by the various things in Parashas Truman Tetzaveh, Kiddusha u'tahara, tahar v'kodosh. There is tahara and there is kiddusha. Kiddusha is sanctity. Tahara is something which we're not going to even try to explain. It's something much deeper. It's something much purer. Opening words of the parasha, you're coming to Pesach, you can very easily fool yourself and think, wow, it's so beautiful, my children sitting around the table, my grandchildren, everyone learns Torah, everyone does mitzvahs, everyone is a good person. We got it all! We got it all! What do you want from man in this world? This world, you know, what do you expect in this world already? We got it all! Hashem put us here to do whatever. And the Laila, Manishtana HaLaila HaZemikol HaLailais, Kadesh. You'll have a lot of Kiddusha in the Laila. But don't forget, you're missing out. Big, big, Milamed, She'ein Mitaharin Oisoi BaLaila. There's no Tahira until Mashiach will come, until you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the first example. I'll give you another example. Later on, it talks about the tahara, the process of tahara, and it says that you have to put upon the mitzora blood on four parts of his body: the big thumb, the big toe, upon the earlobe, and upon the head. Shemen, The shemen you put on four parts. That's a separate part. But you put blood on three parts of the body. You take a carbon asham, and you shecht it, you mekabel the blood, you do the zrika, and you take some leftover blood, and you apply it to his thumb, to his toe, his thumb, and his right earlobe. So what happened after you do that, you then take the loig hashemen, and what do you do with it? Same thing. You put some oil on the big toe on the right side, the big thumb on the right side, and the earlobe on the right side. And in addition, you put shemen al roishcha al techsa. You got to put shemen, pour the oil on the guy's head. What happens if from the time you put the blood on the thumb, the toe, and the earlobe, there was a delay, whatever happened, and the fellow, who was the mitzvah, he cleaned it off. His wife was standing there with him, and it doesn't look nice, you have this blood on your earlobe. She cleans off his earlobe from the blood, his thumb from the blood. And when the kohen comes back with the shemen to apply lechatchila on top of the blood, which is on top of his thumb, top of his toe, top of his ear, guess what? It's not there anymore. The blood is gone. So maybe now it's disqualified. He's not going to be able to do this anymore. Let me just find the Rashi I'm referring to over here. Give me a half a moment. Here it is. Got it. Okay. Pasuk Chavches. Prepare Gidal. Pasuk Chavches. What happens if when the Kohen comes back with the Shemen, the blood has already disappeared? The Mitzora took out a handkerchief and cleaned off his thumb, and there's no blood on the thumb. Is the Kohen allowed to proceed and apply Shemen? Or does the Kohen have to say, I'm sorry, we have to do this all over again? I got to first put the blood, and on top of the blood, I apply the Shem, and that's how it's supposed to be done, l'chatchila. So what does it say in Chazal? Rashi quotes the Chazal. It says in the Pasuk, al mikoim dam ha'asham. You put the Shemen on the mikoim, on the place of the blood. Rashi, afilu niskaneach. Even if the blood has been wiped away, limeid, this comes to teach us, she'ein hadam goyrem. It's not the blood that brings atonement, that achieves success for the mitzora in order to be tahar. Ella hamakoim goyrem. Okay, it's not the blood, it's the makoim. You come to the Seder. You come to the Seder. V'amartem zevach pesach. Ashashato hocha l'shona haba bi'ara di Yisrael. Right? Pesach. It's all about the Karban Pesach. So where's your Karban Pesach? Oh, I don't know. Where's the Karban Pesach? There is no Karban Pesach. Zeichel l'migdosh, kehillel. We have afikoyimin, two kezaisim, one kezayis. There is no Karban Pesach. Make sure you don't serve roasted meat because you know, you don't want to make a mistake. There is no Karban Pesach. No, there's no Karban Pesach. What is this? Make-belief. What is this? What is this? What are we doing over here? And I have to say that. The Torah says, Al matzos u'mirorim yochluhu. It's make-belief. We're playing games in the Leil Seder. What do you say in the Haggadah? Baruch, when you begin the Dalet Banim. What do you begin? The mitzvah deraisa v'igarata levincha bayam hulemar. When you begin the response, the Hagdama is, Baruch hamakoyim baruchu. Baruch shenosan Torah li'amo Yisrael b'kedusha. So why do you refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the word makoyim? Al mikoyim dam ha'asham. Parashas HaShavua. Pesach takes place. The last thing you're going to learn is this week's parasha. And here it says, if there's no blood, Karban Pesach, there's no zevach, there's no blood to put on the mizbeach, who cares? The blood is dry. There is no blood today. Limeid. She'ein hadam goyrein. You think you need the Karban Pesach to accomplish what the Seder is supposed to accomplish? Ela hamokoyim goyrein. It's the Ribbono shel Olam. Here all the Berch Pshat, it's the makom you put on the same place where the thumb is, you put the Shemen. But when you read these words against the backdrop of Erev Pesach, and you're focusing the whole day on V'amartem Zevach Pesach, and there is no Zevach Pesach, and you begin to question, what is this all about? The Baal Haggadah says to you, Baruch HaMokoyim Baruch Hu. It's not about the blood. It's not about the Zevach Pesach. It's about the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the one who is goyim that you should succeed in the mission that you set out to accomplish B'Leil Pesach. Okay, I'll give you a third example. Third example. We come to the Nigei Botim. Fascinating parasha. Come to Eretz Yisrael and you take over a new property. Big fancy house. You drive out the Canaan, you move in. You're sitting around, all of a sudden one day you see a spot on the wall. So what do? You go, you call up the Kohen, and the Kohen says, got a problem here. We got a problem that we have a nega. Okay, let me read you the pasuk. Let's go to the pasuk instead of groping in the darkness. Ki savo el our eretz kanan ashrani no sein lachem lo achuz of no sati nega tzoras v'deis eretz achuz aschem. Uvo asher lo habayis v'gid l'akoy lemar. The one that owns the bayis shall higid. Now it's an interesting word. Higid is hagada. Okay, another very interesting word. V'gid l'akoy lemar kinega. Nearly my voice. I got a problem. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says something very, very fascinating. Kinega, nearly my voice. But he's not focused on the work. It's another drash. We'll come to maybe a little moment. Rashi says something which is a little bit out of place. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure where he's getting the makar for this. He says, Afilu Talmid Chocham. Sheyodeya. Shu nega vadai. Even if you are a Talmud Chacham, you've studied this your whole life, and it is crystal clear to you that there is a nega in your bias, and you come to report this information to the Kohen, don't you dare say to the Kohen, nega. It's not your place to say nega. You know everything. You're Grosh Talmud Chacham. Don't say to the Kohen, there's a nega. Lo yifsoik dovar borer. Do not let it come out of your mouth a clear word to say, loimar, nega nearly. Do not dare say that. Instead, say, elo, kinega. There might be a nega. Okay, that's Rashi. Now, it's Erev Pesach, right? You're going to say the Haggadah, you're supposed to say the Haggadah to the Shabbos after Mincha. On Shabbos Haggadah, you're supposed to recite the Haggadah until Lachaper al Nafsha Sechem after Shabbos Mincha. Instead of Baruch Nafshi, you're supposed to say the Haggadah. The transition between Shabbos Haggadah, between the Shem Alis, Baruch Nafshi, and Pirkei Avos. Transition Shabbos of Haggadah. In the Haggadah, what do we say? We make a point of mentioning the Haggadah. Yafilu, let me turn to the page so I don't have to embarrass myself. Let me read the words on the Haggadah. Avadim hayinu lefarim b'mitzrayim v'yotzei Hashem l'kedim v'mishom b'yel chazdok v'zor tuya v'ilu lo hayitzi Yaakov s'vorek hu esav sedim v'mitzrayim harayanu v'neinu v'neinu m'shubadu lo hayinu lefarim b'mitzrayim v'afilu kulanu chachomim. Let's say we will all be the greatest chachomim. Kulanu nevoinim, kulanu zekeinim, kulanu yodim es ha-toyra. Talmud Chacham, who is now what it says in the Rashi? Right, what does it say? V'higit, the same exact word, v'higit, right, the Haggadah. Mitzvah leinu, there's still a mitzvah. Mitzvah leinu, l'sabi b'yitzias Mitzrayim. You still have a mitzvah of Haggadah. Isn't it amazing? This Shabbos, Parashas, Shabbos Haggadah, you have over here nega and the bias. Bias, the whole Haggadah is about the bias, the nega in the bias, and you're a Talmud Chacham Mufluk, and you know with ultimate clarity that this is called the nega. Don't say the word nega. You say kinega. And here we have something very similar, but not exactly. Here it seems this pshutoy shel mikra is, I'm a Talmud Chacham, I know the whole story, I wrote the book. I wrote the Haggadah. I wrote the Haggadah. I know everything already. You're going to tell me to go say the Haggadah, Lel Seder? I'd rather go read a magazine tonight. I'd rather go have a good time. I have to go. I know this already. No. You got to say the Haggadah. That's the Pshutoy Shel Mikra. I want to suggest something controversial to connect these two together. And it's very controversial, but I believe it's really, there's a lot of truth to this. There are people out there who are very big Talmidei Chachamim, and they're very knowledgeable, and there are a lot of problems. Let's not make any mistake about it. There are a lot of problems in Klal Yisrael. And you know when there were big problems? In the time of Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us, Chazal, who were the ultimate Talmidei Chachamim, they tell us that we were on the 49th level of contamination, whatever that means. I don't know exactly all these terms. And had we stayed in Egypt for one more second, we would have sunk to a level of impurity where it would have been impossible for us to leave Egypt. So obviously the Jewish people were doing some pretty serious averas. They took out with them Pesel Micha. They were bitter. They complained. They challenged Hashem 10 times. They got problems. There's nothing, there's no way you could avoid acknowledging that there were some very serious problems in Klal Yisrael. And, well, you know, you have to be a Talmud Chacham to know what's Osir, what's Mutter. The greater Talmud Chacham you are, the more you can see how corrupt they were. Because in order to know what corruption is, you have to know what's permitted. An argument could be made that, you know something, it wasn't right that the Jewish people should leave Egypt. They're so bad. They're so horrible. The Negoim are so great. The Jewish people's Negoim in Egypt are so great. Chazal say they were so great. I mean, what do you want? We were supposed to be for 400 years. We left them for 210 years. The Negoim are so great. You know something? Maybe it would have been better not to leave Mitzrayim and just perish, assimilate, and come to an end, then go out, then we don't deserve it. It's a nega. Chazal say, don't you dare say that. The greater the Talmud Chacham you are, the greater you can taka see the nega. The more you know, the more, the holier you are, the more you can see, it comes with the territory. The more you can see the imperfections, the flaws of someone else. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivan, kulanu yoyde mesa Torah. Go to the parasha, parasha mitzorah. A Talmud Chacham. What do I see about the Jewish people living in Egypt? A nega. And what does the pasuk say? Don't you dare. Ki nega. You know it all, but you know nothing. Ki nega. It's only ki nega. And there's room there to work. There's a redeeming quality, literally, which will be the spark which will bring the world to perfection. When it says in the Haggadah, this pasuk reveals to us a whole new pshat in these words over here. In the Haggadah, when you're saying, Avodim ayinu l'farah b'mitzrayim, and what were we doing? We were slaves. We were nothing. And we were worshipping idols. And you know something? The average person would say, we did not deserve to leave. And you know something? It would have been better taka not to leave. Because we came out, and what happened to us? All the problems came with us. Along comes the Baal HaGadah and says, V'afilu kulanu chacham, kulanu nevanim, kulanu zekin, kulanu yoydim es haTorah, meaning what? And we can see with the ultimate clarity a nega. It's an absolute nega, and we don't deserve to leave. Let's better stay there and don't pollute the world with our problems. And you know what the Baal HaGadah says? You're dead wrong. You may be dead right, that it's a mamish, that we were in Egypt a nega, but don't say that. It's only kinega. From the surface, it looks like a nega. But there's something underneath there, that a spark of holiness, mitzvah, aleinu lesaper, b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We deserve to leave. Exactly what it says in the pasuk. It's only because you look at the parasha, the backdrop of the parasha, and you have mamish the same words, the same exact words. V'higid l'koyin leimor, kinega, Rashi. Kinega, you're a Talmud Chacham. What are you talking about? It's a nega. Say it as it is. Call it as it is.
You could say, like we say, from the kinega becomes oinek and Pesach.
Becomes what?
But nega is oinek. The same.
Oinek. Okay, that's another thing. The Shabbos. Shabbos is oinek. There. Say it as it is. The pasuk says, no. You're right. But there are still things that you do not know. It's kinega. That changes the pshat in the Haggadah. It's not like, at the first try I told you, we know this already, so therefore let's just get over with, let's just eat the matzah, I'm hungry. I know the whole story already. I've dashed it already, I know the story. Okay, that's a pshat. That's the poshut pshat. Ein mikra yoytze midei pshuta. But on a deeper level, it's teaching you a lesson. Don't be so negative. The world has a lot of problems. There are a lot of issues. There are a lot of nigoim. And the greater Talmud Chacham you are, the more you see. The more you see the dangers, the nitzkiyus of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says to you, so what? You don't know it all. Mitzvah oleinu lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. You're still worthy of coming out. Humble yourself. You don't know it all. Okay. That is three examples of where we can see how the parsha is a backdrop to the Haggadah. Now let's discuss another idea. Okay, let's do another short idea. I sort of write Pelkowitz a sefer. Pelkowitz, Zichrono Livracha, many years ago, he published a very, very good sefer called Table Talk. table talk. It's a fantastic collection of his drashas ideas that he presented when he was the rabbi of the White Shul in Far Rockaway, which is currently the current rabbi is Rabbi Eitan Feiner, incredible Shem Davar. And Rabbi Pelkowitz there, he asks a very interesting question, and that the question is, why is that when it comes to the two birds for the Metzorah, it just says, pick whichever one you want. One bird's going to live and one's going to die. You have two birds, you're going to take one bird, you're going to slaughter it, and you're going to collect its blood, and you're going to take the living bird and dip it in its blood, and you're going to send it away. One's going to live, one's going to die. Who made you the balabas to decide which one lives, which one dies? I got two birds. One of you is going to live, one of you is going to die. And who's going to decide which one lives and which one dies? Me. I'll decide. I'll do whatever I want. No one's going to tell me what to do. Mi yichye mi yamos. When else do we have such a dilemma of mi yichye mi yamos? On Yom HaKippurim. You bring Shnei Seirim. They're exactly the same. They're supposed to be as similar as possible. One's going to live and one's going to die. One's going off the cliff. And it's interesting. They're really both going to die. That's interesting. I didn't really pay attention to that. But the pasuk calls it the sur ha-chai. One's going to live longer. Chai shah by the animal.
A carbon. And when you throw off the
big, but there are big decisions here to be made. You get to decide. The kohen gets to decide which one, two that are identical. Which one goes here? Which one goes there? You don't get to decide. It's a goyrol. You take a goyrol. It says the goyrolos, a whole technique, and the goyrol decides, the Ribbono Shel Olam decides which one dies and which one lives longer, whatever that means. Which one goes lazazel? That's for you to decide. So why then when it comes on Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Mitzvah, all of a sudden we were giving you a decision what to do? So Rabbi Pelkowitz, he says a very beautiful answer, and he says, on Yom HaKippurim, it's a question of La Hashem and La Azazel. La Hashem, one of them will be selected to go La Hashem, and the other will be selected to go La Azazel. La Azazel represents to go to whatever this Kabbalistic concept is, to the Sitra Achra, to go outside the Beis HaMikdash, off a cliff to represent, to carry the sins of Klal Yisrael, wanting to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the place of Tahara. You have no right to earmark something La Hashem versus earmarking something La Azazel. You have no. It's not a matter of life and death. It's a matter of you have a right to go take two things, and each one can go either way. One go La Hashem, one go La Azazel, and you're going to make that decision? Chas v'shalom, that's not for a human being to decide such lofty decisions. When it comes to the two birds, when one's going to die, one's going to live, who cares? That's irrelevant. Life and death. We live in a world of Olam Nitzchi. These two birds are accomplishing the same thing. They are bringing Tahara to a Mitzvah.
Why do you mix the blood, though?
That's Gzeres HaKosev. Gzeres HaKosev, that's not the point. Gzeres, that's a separate point. But when it comes to the two birds are both La Hashem. One bird is serving in the capacity that it's going to be slaughtered, and the other is serving in the capacity that it's going to be dipped in the blood and mixed with the eis of Shnitlas and sent away. They are both serving La Hashem. They're both in, one is serving La Hashem in life, one is serving La Hashem in, yeah.
Are they, for example, I know Shef Diyum, one of the animals,
you replace it.
They're tied
okay, that's a separate point.
Are the birds tied together?
I don't think so. No. Okay, that's a minor point. That point is not relevant to our discussion. It's an important point, but it's not. No, get here. The point here is that when it comes to the two birds, Pelkowitz says when it comes to the two birds, they're both going La Hashem. If they're both going La Hashem, the Torah is teaching you that even though it's a life and death decision, that can be made by a human being. A decision that something should not go La Hashem is more weighty than life and death. That's what he says. a decision that something should be go la Hashem versus la Zaz not la Hashem carries more weight in this world than a decision of life and death.
But could you say that one is for the Rabbim?
They're both for the Rabbim.
No, but the individual, when you're doing the Tahara of the Matzara, it's one individual.
So what? So what? Why should it make a difference?
Doing for a
for Klal Yisrael? What? No. Why should? I mean, I hear you. You're saying a Svara. I hear. Okay, but this is his idea. His idea is the weight of going La Hashem versus going La Azazel is more serious than life and death. And when a person is zoicha to live, and he has to make decisions in his own life, should he do things which will lead him closer to Hashem, or chas v'shalom, and making this decision will take him further away from Hashem, that is a major decision which he should understand is in the contrast between the Mitzorah and the two Sirim, require a girl versus not require a girl. I want to just add another idea to this question, and that is, why indeed do you slaughter two Sirim? Two birds. So Chazal tell us, the bird that is slaughtered represents Lashon Hara. Birds, the first Rashi in this parasha of the Mitzorah tells us, why do you bring birds? Because birds chirp. Birds make noise. Why did a person suffer Tsaras? Because he made noise. He spoke Lashon Hara. So you have to take the bird which represents the Koyach HaDibur, noise, and you slaughter it as a way of saying that you made acknowledgement that I should not have spoken. Why then do you have a second bird and send away the second bird? Because instead of speaking evil, you have a lost opportunity. You could have used that opportunity to say something good. Every time a person is nichshol in Lashon Hara, almost 99% of the time he had an opportunity at that exact same moment, once he has the mic, he has the opportunity to open his mouth and people are listening, he had the opportunity to say something good. So, the reason why you bring two birds is, one bird, the birds represent chirping, represent speech. One bird, you slaughter as a way of saying that I should not have spoken these harsh words of Lashon Hara. And at the same time, I send away a living bird to chirp as a recognition I should have said good words in its place. This revelation of what you should not have said, what you should have said, is clear as day to a person. When it comes to the Azazel, the Sur La Hashem, Sur La Azazel, at the moment when you make the Goyrol, one of the animals is going to be put to death imminently. And the other one got plenty of time left to go. Ain't going nowhere so fast. Okay, the other Sur La Azazel is going to remain alive for a significant period of time. Mi yichye umi yomus is not in your decision. The mysteries of who lives and who does not live, that's only up to Hashem. You have no one has any knowledge or any understanding of how long a person should live, what their purpose is in this world, when their time comes to go. That's beyond us. That's only La Hashem. When you're making a decision which one's going to die now and which one's going to be put on the side and will die at the end of the day, a long way to go for this Azazel guy. Azazel guy got a long way. He's not going nowhere so fast. We have a whole Avodah to do. And when the Avodah is finished, he got to go on a field trip. And it takes a long time to get to the destination.
But he has a terrible death.
Okay. Whatever. But he's going to live. Right now, at this moment in time, it's a question of life and death. Life and death is not in your hands. It's Hashem's hands. When it comes to a person who spoke Lashon Hara, you know exactly what you did wrong. There's no secret. I don't need Malachim to come and tell me, you know, you should not have said that this guy is a ganav, because he's not a ganav. And you should have said that he's an honest, good, hard-working man. You know exactly what you said wrong and exactly what you should have said instead. And therefore, when it comes to the selection of the birds, of which one you're gonna slaughter one, and which one you're going to let live, which is a tool for you in your mind to tell you you made a big mistake and you should not have spoken Lashon Hara and instead you should have said something nice, I don't need a goyrol, a revelation from heaven to reveal to me my mistake. You pick a bird. Picking the bird is the way of Hashem saying, you know what you did wrong. You know what you said wrong. The other bird, you know what you should have said right. It's a lesson to a person, don't fool yourself that this Avera was beyond your control. Life and death, that indeed is not under your control. Okay, let's go to another idea. This idea I found to be a little bit interesting. The order of the parashas is very, very strange. Normally, we lay in these two parashios, Tazria and Mitzvah. And what is the order? If we put the two parashios together, what's the order? So parashas Tazria, you learn about Nige Odom, a nega that comes upon a person's body. And then there's a long parasha describing a nega that comes upon a person's clothing or possessions. And then, right after we finish Parshas Tazria, that describes the laws of Nige Adam and Nige Kelim, we begin a new parasha, Parshas Mitzora. And what do we do in Parshas Mitzora? The process of Tahira. How does a person lift himself out of this state of Tzaras? So you think we're done. We're not done. After we finish the process of Tahira, we now describe the laws of Nige Botim. If there's a Nega in your home, if you discover a Nega in your home, we go into a whole discussion, what are all the laws? And then when we finish the Nige Botim, we then describe the process of Tahira for the Bais. Now, if you were given the task to arrange Parshas Tazria Mitzora, I guarantee you no one in this room would arrange it in the way the Torah put it. You would put all three together. You would first Adam, Kalim, Batim, and then tell me the process of Tahira for both Adam and Batim, because it's pretty much the same. You have to have the birds in both cases. Or you would go, if you want to break it up, you can order it in all different ways that you want, but you would not do it in this bizarre way of Adam the Kalim, and then the Tyra for Adam and the Kalim, and then Tumah for the Bias, and then the Tahira for the Bias. What is going on? And also, why is it divided into two parashiyos? Why don't we just include all of the laws in one single parsha? Okay, now there's another important point that we need to add in order to give the answer. And that is, why does a person, Rachman Litzlan, suffer from tzaras? Chazal give many reasons. Chazal gives seven reasons. You probably can find even more. The Bala Turim says there are seven reasons here on the page. But Rashi says one reason. Rashi only says one reason, and that's because of Lashon Hara. Where does Rashi reveal to us that the source of tzaras is Lashon Hara? Beginning of Parashas Mitzora. Verse Rashi, Chayois, Prad L'Oif Tahoyrois. Okay, go a little further. Tahoyrois, the first Rashi, Prad L'Oif Tamei, Lefi Shanegoyim Boim Al Lashon Hara, Shohu Maise Potit. Pitpute devarim lefiha huskiku letaharasai tziparim shemefatafim tamid. You need birds because birds talk. It's the atonement for speaking, because when you speak your mouth, it utters it and moves its lips. Now, don't you think Rashi should have revealed to us the source of tzaras comes in the beginning of Parashas Tazria? Rashi a little bit too late. We're up now to the process of Tahira. We're up now to Nige Batim. Shouldn't Rashi have revealed to us that the source of tzaras comes back in Parashas Tazria when we learn about the Nige Adam and the Nige Kalim? Isn't Rashi a little bit too late? Next question. Is Chazal tell us the Seder HaDvarim is what? Is first Hashem doesn't strike a person's body. First he gets a Nega in his bias. If he doesn't take the Musar, then Hashem can bring a nega to his clothing. If he still doesn't take the musar, then he gets a nega on his body. So there are madregos. It's out of order. In the Torah, the first thing that we learn about is nigei Adam in Parshas Tazria. Then is nigei Kalim. And then in Parshas Mitzora is nigei Batim. So why are the Negoim presented in Parshas Tazria Mitzora out of order?
What about
Ein Mokum? So what? That's in the big picture in history. That's chronology. That's in chronology, in a narrative of a story. But that's not in the halachas. So I saw an answer, something which blows open everything and answers every single question. A very, very simple insight. An incredible question and answer. Where did I see this? I don't even remember where I saw this. Question is, Miriam, we know in Parashas Bahaloscha, Miriam said about Moshe Rabbeinu, only Moshe is so great. Only Moshe was only. She questioned Moshe, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu,
separated
from his wife? So Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, also whatever it means over there. And what happened right away? Miriam was smitten with tzaras.
So was Aaron,
that's right. Aaron, the whole question was Aaron, but in a chanami, let's them both.
But it went directly.
Whatever, they both were smitten. Question, don't Chazal tell us Hashem would never bring upon a person tzaras on his body first? The bezyonos are way over the charts. The process is Hashem sends warning signs. First is nigei batim, then there's nigei kalim, and then there are nigei adam. So in the midbar, there is no bias. So Hashem, everyone's just in a tenth, anani akavo. So there can't be a warning sign. If there can't be a warning sign, Hashem can't give her nigei adam. You got to go through the steps. Also, if you want to go, tell me that we can forget about the bottom. We can only do the clothing. Can't happen that. So there should have been nigga on the clothing. Either she should get nothing because you can't go through the complete process. And if you want to tell me we can just forget about the bottom, but at least we have clothing and the body, we should have a record somewhere in the Chumash, the Chazal, that Miriam was first smitten with saras on her clothing before it came to her body. So my high, what is going on over here? What is going on? This is not Hashem is not following the rules.
So what?
They're the rules. Rules are rules. No, rules are rules. So okay. So here's an answer, which is a very powerful answer. This is an incredible answer. Rashi here in the beginning of Parashas Tazmitzoy, what was our first question? Rashi first wakes up now and tells us the reason why a person gets saras because he spoke Lashon Hara. Well, thank you very much. We already finished Parashas Tazria. We should have known that. We had known last week. That would be nice to know last week. Well, now it's not relevant. Now we're up to Mitzora, where we talk about soon the Nigei Batim. You know, you're a little too late, Rashi. So, an answer, an incredible answer. This rule, this Seder, only applies when you speak Lashon Hara. There are two other types of averis which are cousins to Lashon Hara. Motzi Shemra, outright lie. Lashon Hara is true. This guy, you say things that are nasty, that are true, but it's none of this guy, none of your business. This other person's none of his business. That's Lashon Hara. Then there's outright lies called Motzi Shemra, and then there's Rechilus. Rechilus is infinitely worse than Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara, the victim, doesn't even know. I tell you something nasty about him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know that I said a bad word. There's no animosity between him and you. He doesn't know. He's clueless. I get a terrible avera. I said bad things. Your mind has been poisoned. So, but he doesn't know. If I go and I say to you, I say to you, that he hates you, that he did something nasty about you. If I say something which creates animosity between two people, that's called rechilos. If I go to you, I go to you, do you know what he said about you behind your back? You're so nice to him. You're so kind and pleasant to him. Why are you so nice to him? Do you know what he said about you? when you were not in shul yesterday, so now you hate him. You hate him. That is called rechilus.
Does it matter if it's true or false?
Doesn't matter. False is called Moshe Shemra.
No, but is that also
rechilus? Yeah, because you have created animosity, that's called, it's also rechilus. That's, yeah, double dosage.
Yeah.
So here comes an incredible chiddush. This Seder HaDvarim, first comes the bias, then comes your clothing, then comes your guf, is only true when it comes to Lashon Hara. When there's no animosity. I just tell you, this guy, he's a lowlife, he's a loser. He's a loser. But I didn't create any animosity between you and him. You don't hate him. You just now have information. Wow, I didn't know that this person is a bad guy. There's no animosity.
So it's not personal.
It's not personal. That's called Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is I reveal information, damaging information about someone else, but it does not lead to animosity between you and that person. Rechilus is where I say to you, do you know what that fellow said about you yesterday when you didn't come to shul? You didn't come to shul yesterday. And that fellow said, oh, finally we don't have this burden of with us, this person who comes to shul. And now when I tell you that, you have a burning hatred for that person.
Is that what you're in there?
So basically he says yes. He says that the violation, now I don't know the details, I have to go back and study this, so it's a very reliable source, is the Machloikis Rishonim, he says, what exactly was exactly the chait of Miriam. But it seems, everyone agrees, it was not Lashon Hara. It was either Rechilus, or, you have to study, you have to go, I don't have the details here, I do not know the answer, you're asking very good, I do not know the answer, you have to study the study, but I believe this is a very reliable safe, and he quite writes two Rishonim, I don't remember, and he says, one says it was in the category of Rechilus, and the other Rishon says it was Motzi Shema, but it was not Lashon Hara. The rules do not apply. Rashi first woke up to tell us about Lashon Hara in Parshas Metzora. Because Parshas Metzora is the beginning of the process. Parshas Tazria is where the first thing that happens, the guy, poor fellow, he wakes up one day, there's a nega. Or he wakes up one day and there's a nega on his clothing. Wait a minute, this can't be because of Lashon Hara. We're going in order. We are going in order. This can't be because of Lashon Hara. Because of Lashon Hara, we first should have started with Nige Batin. Not with a Nega on my back. You're going right away for the kill? Parsha begins with Rechilus. Parsha's Tazria Mitzora is discussing Rechilus. Where you cause animosity. Where you cause animosity, either category A, okay, offense A, or B, which will be where it's a degree where it goes on your clothing. Now we come to Parshas Mitzora. Generally, when a person has a nega on his bias, it's Lashon Hara, because that's the beginning of the process. And then the Chapostik says, and you know something, sometimes it's not even Lashon Hara. It's a Bisoira. It's good news. In the bias is a matmoin, is a treasure. That is why it's so clever how the parshas have been arranged with such perfect precision. Parshas Tazria discusses a person that is speaking rechilus or motzi shemra, either category A or category B. He's going to get the whammy, the big punishment, or if his aver was not as bad, he'll get nega on his clothing. Now we come and we, in Parshas Mitzora, let us cleanse this man from his severe sin of rechilus, of animosity. That's a category in and of itself. And now we can begin a new parsha. We can begin a parsha where there's no sinas chinam. There's no hatred among people. There's a problem. No one's coming to minimize the severity of speaking Lashon Hara. But Lashon Hara relative to Rechilos is not as nearly as severe. Most of the things about Bezman is that when you talk about speaking Lashon Hara, really it's Rechilus. Most of the Rabbanim that are darshening on all the papers and online and all the things, they're really talking about Rechilus. That's really what most of the problems that we have today are. Rechilus. Lashon Hara, don't get me wrong. Go straight to Gehenna for Lashon Hara, but it's not Rechilus. That's a little different. New parasha. And that's why it begins the process. And in fact, sometimes it can turn into a blessing. Okay, we're out of time. We want to just wind down with a very short word in Shabbos HaGadol. Why is it called something new to me? Rav Simcha Soloveitchik revealed this incredible, incredible chiddush. Why is it called Shabbos HaGadol? There are, comes to my mind, two most simple reasons. Because of the Haftarah. Hine anochi shlech eisil yonah lufnei boyoyim Hashem HaGadol v'hanoyro. Why else? What's the other very simple reason? Because Pesach is called Shabbos. Usefartem lochem mimocharas ha-Shabbos. Pesach is Shabbos. But don't, that's Shabbos. But Shabbos Kodesh. That's Shabbos HaGadol. Let's not get confused. Let's remember the facts. Shabbos is the Ikka Shabbos. Shabbos HaGadol and Pesach is the Shabbos HaKotel. He told me another idea. I think this is from one of the Briska, I'm not sure which one of the Briska dynasty, the Briska Rav, maybe it was one of his sons, or I'm not sure exactly who, but he told me that it comes from the Musaf of Shabbos. What do we say on Shabbos? We can go a whole life and not realize this. It's incredible. On Shabbos Musaf, we say the Musaf, everyone knows we say it backwards. Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Karbonosach. We read the letters of the Aleph Beis downwards, starting with the letter Tav, and we go backwards. Tav, Shin, Reish, Kuf, Tikanta, Shabbos, Ratzisa, Karbon Asecha, and we go through all those Yabim. We come to the end. What's the end of the letters? Vigam also, Ho'ohavim Divareha. Those Jewish people who love its words, Gidulo Bocharu, have taken for themselves greatness. What do those words mean? He says every Shabbos. Those Jewish people who love its words. What's its words? What are you talking about? What's its? Who's its? Who's the subject? So I see the Mepharshim, they struggle. No one really has clarity what it means. So he told me, Pashup Shah, what it means. Shabbos talks. Shabbos has what to say. Mizmor Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Toiv Lohoidois LaHashem Ulizamer L'Shimcha Elyon. Shabbos has what to say. Shabbos is not just an object. Shabbos is a living organism. Shabbos has what to say. Shabbos has a Shira. When Shabbos is called up to the stage, called up to the stage, it says, "Mizmor Shir LiYoyim Atoyv LaHoydos LaHashem UlaZamer LaShim Chalayin." It says here in the Shemona Esrei, "Vigam Oyhavehod Vigam HaOyhavim Divareha." Those people who love the words of Shabbos, the speech, the song of Shabbos. Those people have taken for themselves Gidula Bocharu. They have selected for themselves greatness. What is Pesach? It's amazing. Read the Mizmor Shir LiYoyim HaShabbos. The whole Mizmor Shir LiYoyim HaShabbos is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me just read you a few words. Few words of Mizmor Shir LiYoyim HaShabbos. We say it Friday night. We say it a few times over Shabbos. Mizmor Shir LiYoyim HaShabbos. Toiv LaHoydos. Pesach is all about Hallel. Hallel Nirtza. Toiv LaHoydos LaHashem Ulezamer to sing L'Shem Chalion LaHagid B'Mok Chastecha V'Yamunoscha Balelos. Pesach is the Laila and the Yom. It's the Geula, the redemption. The redemption, but we also spend man nishtana halayla hazem mikol halaylas. We need moror to reflect upon vayimoru es chayeyem. But it's cheros. We drink 4 cups of wine. The whole essence of the Haggadah is lehagid baboiker chastecha, to declare Hashem's kindness in the times of geula, but yet to reflect and have emuna in the difficult times via munas chabaleilos. And it goes on and describes every pasuk. You see clear the theme of the obliteration, like with the Shrei Chamoscha, and the elevation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the major themes of the Haggadah are all captured in the Mizmor Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Thus, v'gam oy havecha, if you love Shabbos, gedula b'charu, you're a gadol. Erev Pesach, we are coming close, we are embracing Pesach. We're coming to express, and who said it, who can say better than Shabbos? Mimela, this Shabbos is the perfect speech, the one that expressed the theme of Pesach, is Shabbos, it's the Shabbos HaGadol. Because the Gamoy HaVech Klal Yisrael on the Shabbos, who love Shabbos, Gedula boch gam oy haver dibure gam oy avim dibure dibure klal Yisrael, who love the words of Shabbos, gedula bochar, they have become great, they have become for themselves a great nation. That is why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, leading into Pesach. Beautiful idea. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos HaGadol.